you have to defend and assert is one I would not want to in light of Matthew, the 5th chapter, verses 17 through 19, which say, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men also, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." I am glad that I am on the position, taking a position tonight, that the commandments of God are in effect today, and that they are to be kept in their entirety. On last night, there were a few things that I think we need to clear up at the very beginning of our discussion. There are a few things that we want to assert. We want to make clear everybody does understand that, number one, we do not believe that Sabbath keeping is the way to salvation. Number two, we do not assert or endorse that the Old Testament is invalid, but do in fact believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Number three, we do not endorse that the first covenant is still in effect. We are very clear based on Hebrews 10 that we're dealing with another covenant that is endorsed by the blood of Jesus, not the blood of bulls and goats. And that is why, number four, we do not endorse that the ceremonial law, which was ratified by the blood of bulls and goats and whatnot, and the Ten Commandments are the same. It's very difficult, and I understand your challenge, in doing two things at the same time. On the one hand, you assert that the Ten Commandments are nailed to the cross. But then you backtrack and you resurrect 9 of the 10. So that the net result of Jesus dying on the cross is that now the 4th commandment doesn't have to be kept. We question, if the 10 commandments were nailed to the cross, why resurrect 9? Why nail them to the cross if in fact they are valid? We looked last night for you to give us a text that showed a command, an assertion in the New Testament that Sunday was to be kept sacred. We heard none. In fact, I had to give the 8 New Testament texts myself, and clearly none of those texts represented a command to keep Sunday. That is a challenge that I think you're going to find very difficult to answer. What we are intending to do tonight is assert that the Bible does teach that the seventh day Sabbath is still binding. On last night, you spent most of your time trying to assert that the Ten Commandments are not in effect. Very little time trying to assert that there is something in the Bible about the first day being a day of worship. We're going to do it differently tonight. We will be on the aggressive asserting that the seventh day Sabbath is still in effect. And we challenge you to stay on point. Tonight, what we want to do is we want to start by laying out a timeline, a biblical timeline, tracing the Sabbath from the very beginning of the creation of the world all the way to heaven. And we don't see any gaps in this timeline that are of any significance at all. First text we want to look at with our timeline is Genesis, the 2nd chapter, verses 2 through 3. I must confess that your analysis of Genesis 2, verses 2 through 3, it did baffle me. You tended to be quite logical in most of your defenses, but you kind of left the realm of logic on this one. Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3 say clearly, "And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day." He rested on the seventh day from all his work which he made. "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." You asserted that this was somehow a reference to some later time in history, not part of the creation week narrative. That is difficult to support because the way Genesis is laid out at the beginning is on day one, evening and morning, this is what was created. Day two, it logically moves through the 7 days. I think you would agree that the first 6 days were in fact evening and morning, literal days, and on those days he created what the Bible says he created. Then it moves from the sixth day to the seventh day. But you suggested last night that it really didn't move from the sixth to the seventh, but Moses was talking about some time distance. I challenge you, are you saying that this is not the creation time when the Sabbath is instituted, but in fact the Sabbath was instituted at Mount Sinai? If so, I challenge you to support that. We have it at creation. Precede any law. If you can successfully do away with a law that is holy, just, and good, that includes no other gods before me, don't make graven images, don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, if you could somehow nail that to the cross, then I would still ask you to deal with the fact that before Mount Sinai, Ten Commandment law, the Sabbath is in effect. It is a day, seventh day, sanctified, blessed, hallowed. At what point did it cease to be sanctified, blessed, and hallowed, or set aside for sacred observance? After creation, before we get to Mount Sinai, Exodus the 16th chapter. This is before the Ten Commandments are given at Mount Sinai. Exodus the 16th chapter, and I challenge you to please deal with these texts. Exodus the 16th chapter, verses 23 through 26 say, "And he said unto me, This is that which the Lord hath said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath." It's holy because it was blessed, sanctified, and made holy at creation. They've not yet made it to Mount Sinai. "Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seize that ye will seize, and that which remaineth overlay up for you to be kept until the morning." You find throughout the 16th chapter this discussion of God raining down manna in double portion the day before the Sabbath, so that the Sabbath could be kept holy before getting the law at Mount Sinai. Then, of course, Exodus the 20th chapter, verses 8 through 11, is where we find this law. And it's interesting to me that most conservative denominations will clearly say that the Ten Commandments are a great law. In fact, Judge Roy Moore has gone to the mat fighting over the right to post those laws. It's interesting that some people love it on the one hand, but then come up with a scheme to nail them to the cross to get rid of one commandment. Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. "Remember the Sabbath day." Remember, because they already knew. They are being told to not forget it. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth." Again, going back to creation. "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." We saw that in Genesis. Move on. During the monarchy, in Isaiah, the 58th chapter. Isaiah 58. There's going to be a timeline, and we don't see any gaps in Sabbath observance. Isaiah 58. And I know you place a great value on the New Testament, but I place value on the New and the Old. That's why I'm taking a little time in the Old before moving to the New. Verse 13. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day." Why is it holy? Because he made it holy at creation. "And call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken." Special blessing on those who keep the Sabbath. During the exile, even when they went into exile, in Ezekiel, the 20th chapter, verses 12 and 20. Ezekiel 20, verse 12 says, "Moreover also I gave them my Sabbath, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctified them." Verse 20. "And hallow my Sabbath, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God." Special sign. of relationship between God and his people, even in exile. Nehemiah, the 13th chapter. Nehemiah, the 13th chapter. How much time, sir? 10, good. Let me finish it up. Nehemiah, the 13th chapter. Nehemiah 13, when the man of God is speaking to the Lord about the reforms that he successfully pulled off. Verses 15 through 19, he speaks of the blatant Sabbath breaking going on in his time. In those days, I saw in Judah some treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing in sheaves and lading asses, as also wine, grapes, and figs, and all manner of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I testified against them in the day wherein they sold victuals. There dwelt men of Tyre also therein, which brought fish and all manner of ware, and sold on the Sabbath unto the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah, and said unto them, what evil thing is this that ye do, and profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers thus, and did not our God bring all this evil upon us, and upon this city? Yet ye bring more wrath upon Israel. How? By profaning the Sabbath. There is a consistent theme in the Old Testament that God honored Sabbath keeping, and he penalized Sabbath breaking. New Testament, Luke 4, New Testament now. One of the things that you said that we affirm is that the example of righteous people should be followed. In fact, you based your whole premise of keeping Sunday on the fact that on a Saturday night, Paul preached. And then you also said, what was the other example, but use two examples. What better example than Jesus Christ? In Luke, the 4th chapter, in verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, speaking of Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. I will say again, as I said last night, Jesus was not one who played by the rules if the rules did not make sense. One of the things he was criticized for most was that he did things that the rules they had established said were wrong. Jesus, if he did it as an example for us to follow. You cannot make the case that Jesus went into the synagogue on the Sabbath to persuade others not to keep the Sabbath. Go to the next text. Acts 13. Acts 13 and verse 14. You gave an interesting defense for this last night that I would ask you to reiterate again tonight. This is the Apostle Paul. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. You'll find in this entire chapter, as well as in the 16th chapter, that Paul kept the Sabbath consistently. Your argument last night was that Paul kept the Sabbath to teach people not to keep the Sabbath. That didn't ring with sincerity to me. He kept it to teach people not to keep it. Let me give you an example of him keeping it, because that's what he chose to do. In the 16th chapter and the 13th verse, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city, Acts 16 verse 13, by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. This was not Jesus trying to go to where there was, not Paul trying to go to where there was a crowd to persuade them not to keep the Sabbath. This was Paul making his way to a quiet place to keep the Sabbath. Paul was a Sabbath keeper. Hebrews the fourth chapter. And Hebrews is a book that was referred to numerous times on last night. Hebrews the fourth chapter and the 9th verse. And we asserted something on last night that in fact was rebutted, and I want to give a little evidence that in fact we were on point. Hebrews the 4th chapter and the 9th verse, speaking of Sabbath still in place. Jesus, through the messenger Paul, who wrote Hebrews, here goes back to the Sabbath of creation as an example of rest. In verse 4 it says, he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. That's clearly the Sabbath found in Genesis, the second chapter. Now verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. On that night we told you that that word was Sabbath Kismah. I see our picture is not very clear. If you can see the Greek, you will notice that we are correct. The word is Sabbath Kismah. You don't find that word in other places, and what the literal translation is there remaineth a keeping of the Sabbath. A Sabbath keeping. Sabbath Kismah is Sabbath keeping. Hebrews 4, verse 9 says it still remains. Then in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 20. Matthew 24 and verse 20. Again, Jesus. If the Sabbath ceased at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, he certainly would have said something about that. He would have known and he would have said something about that. Not only is there strange silence, but in Matthew 24 and verse 20, we hear him speaking of him being clear that the Sabbath would be in place some 39 years after his death. He died in AD 31. Jerusalem was conquered in AD 70. That means almost 40 years later, Jesus makes a prediction. He talks about the destruction of Jerusalem, and in verse 20 says, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. In other words, if the Sabbath ceased at the crucifixion, Jesus was not aware. Paul was not aware. The apostles were not aware. Meeting in an upper room for fear of the Jews is not keeping a day holy. Telling them to have a collection in their houses so that he will not have to make them gather when he comes is not a worship experience. There is, from the beginning to the end, references to the Sabbath. Last reference I'll give, and we want to do more with this 20-minute segment, but we'll have to do it in the next, is Isaiah, the 66th chapter, Isaiah 60, 6, and verse 23. We have found the Sabbath from creation. We've walked it through the Old Testament. We've walked it through the New Testament. And now we find out what happens when we go to heaven. Isaiah 66, verses 22 and 23. So that we will be clear, Isaiah is speaking prophetically of the end time when there is a new heaven and a new earth. Verse 22, for as the new heaven and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. I keep the Sabbath because it's not only in the Old Testament, not only in the New Testament, but I'm also getting ready for what we will do in the new heaven and the new earth.